It's time now for Spears on Sports with John Spears, presented by M&M Carnage. And now, here's Johnny.
Made it to a Friday. Welcome in, Spears on Sports, presented by M&M Carnage. John Spears in studio, Friday, November 19th. It is cold outside, my friends. It is flat out cold out there. Got high school football tonight, both sides of the river now. New Albany and Indianapolis Cathedral. I think, Douglas, that game's in Indianapolis, correct?
Yes. They're playing at Arsenal Tech High School.
Aha. So
Arsenal Tech.
Not a local, not a home game for the Bulldogs, but New Albany in the 5A semi-state here against number one Indianapolis Cathedral. 7:30 kickoff tonight right here on the Big X. Kentucky high school football, my St. X Tigers hosting Davis County. Trinity is at Ryle tonight in northern Kentucky. Male at home against North Hardin tonight. Those are 6A games. Christian Academy plays. Bardstown Bethlehem plays. I hope I didn't miss anybody there as far as local schools are concerned in the Louisville area. High school football Friday night. Love it. And there is a nip in the it's not even a nip. It's flat out cold, and it's going to be cold tonight. Tim Tam Tavern Bucket of Picks coming up. Three college games, three pro games. We'll try to give you some winners this week, which is normally not what we try to do. We try to give you losers. You bet the other way. I'm going to try to actually give you some winners this week. I told you yesterday my play of the month was Louisville last night, and I said on this program, and you can check the tape if you'd like, I thought the Cards would put up 50 against Duke. They did not. They put up 62. 62-22, Louisville beats Duke. M&M Carnage Hotline is open if you want to talk about that game or anything else today. 502-384-1450. 384-1450. The Thornton's text line is open as well. You can text the show at 414-1450. Don't forget, Thornton's is the perfect stop for all the best pick-me-up items you need to get your day started, like fresh coffee, delicious donuts. Visit Thornton's and text me on the Thornton's text line, 502-414-1450. College football this weekend, college basketball. I love this time of the year. I love it. College football, NFL, college basketball, NBA. We got everything going on. We even had baseball news yesterday. Bryce Harper, National League MVP. Shohei Ohtani, American League MVP. Neither team got to the playoffs. In fact, the Philadelphia Phillies won 82 games for Bryce Harper, who was great, by the way. And Ohtani, who was 9-2 as a pitcher with an ERA just over 3, he hit 46 homers, 100 RBIs as a batter. He was a unanimous MVP vote on a Anaheim Angels team that I think won 77 games. Los Angeles Angels, I should say. I'm in the Wayback Machine again today. But there are your MVP. So we got news everywhere. Mel Tucker, Michigan State, come on down. Cash that check. 10 years, $90 million is a reported contract offer to Mel Tucker at Michigan State. He better sign today because you go to Columbus tomorrow to take on Ohio State. You got Penn State the week after that. If you lose to Ohio State by more than 20, the spread, I think, is 19. If you lose by 20 or more to Ohio State, does the offer go down to $80 million? Is that what the contract says? Sign this contract, Mel. 10 years, $90 million. However, if Ohio State thumps you tomorrow, it drops to $80 million. And if you lose to Penn State the following week, it drops to $70 million. That's what the contract should say. Because Mel Tucker is cashing in here. It's all about timing. You beat Michigan twice in a row, and all of a sudden, LSU, Mel Tucker, the rumors are there. It is a easy way to get a payday. This is the coaches. This is the game they play. This is the game they play. You want to get paid more at the current school? Then start a rumor that you're going to another school. And that's the rumor at LSU. The rumor at Miami is Lane Kiffin. Miami doesn't even have an athletic director right now. Can you imagine this, Louisville fan? Tom Jurich, Lane Kiffin teaming up to go to the U in your conference. That's a long way off, but it is not impractical to think that that might happen. Lane Kiffin has done good things almost everywhere he's been. USC was a speed bump. But offense coordinator for Nick Saban at Alabama, he was really good. He's got Ole Miss back on the map. He resurrected Florida Atlantic program that was in the crapper, quite frankly. And Miami, by the way, Miami still has a coach. Manny Diaz is still the coach as we speak of the Miami Hurricanes. They have two games left this season. But conventional wisdom is the AD is gone. So the new AD will want to bring in his whatever coach he wants to bring in. Lane Kiffin, football coach, is sort of, I mean, I can make comparisons to bringing in Rick Pitino as a basketball coach, right? A lot of excitement. The guy that is media friendly. Tom Jurich has brought in a guy like that before. Why wouldn't he do it again? I think it happens here. I think if Miami wants a big splash, they bring in Tom Jurich. And I think Tom Jurich would be foolish not to take the Miami athletic director position if he wants to be an AD again, and that's the question here. I can't imagine that his agent has put his name out there if he doesn't want to consider, at least consider the job as athletic director at the U. I can't imagine his name would be anywhere in the stratosphere unless he wanted it out there. And Miami, look, they want to be really relevant in football again. Miami and Florida State played last week. Did you know that? Did you know that? When I was, you know, 10 years ago, not even when I was young, 10 years ago, Miami, Florida State was a must watch. You didn't miss that game. Now nobody cares. Nobody cared to see that game. Florida State fan didn't care. Miami fan didn't care. Nobody outside the state of Florida was wondering when do Miami and Florida State play. Nobody cared. Tom Jurich, perfect situation. Resurrect a program. Bring in a high-profile coach, Lane Kiffin. I know it's all rumors and speculation at this point, but I can see it happening, and I think it would be glorious. I think it would be great. Lane Kiffin is a guy who's on social media. He's a guy who can laugh at himself. See the popcorn comment from earlier in the year. Bring your popcorn. And then after getting crushed, making fun of the fact that he said, get your popcorn ready. He's good at social media. And he's apparently a really good offensive coach. He's got a Heisman candidate, Matt Corral, who was not a Heisman candidate under a previous administration. Would never have been a Heisman candidate. So that's the goings-on here. LSU needs a coach. So if your name is mentioned for that job, then you go to your athletic director and say, hey, you're going to have to pay me more. LSU wants me. That's the way the game is played. And that's what Mel Tucker has on his side at this moment. And Southern Cal, same thing. If you're James Franklin at Penn State and you just want to raise, then you get your name into that Southern Cal talk. He might go to USC. We better pay him more. That's the way it works. That's the way the machine is designed to work for these coaches. Meanwhile, Tom Izzo had to take a bus from East Lansing to Indianapolis to play Butler a couple nights ago. But they can find $90 million, $9 million a year for the next 10 years to pay Mel Tucker. I don't think Tom Izzo was very happy about that. And we can't have men swimming or women swimming at Michigan State anymore because we don't have the money for that program. Yikes. Not a good optical look here. But we begin, I guess I already began, with Louisville's bowl-eligible win last night over Duke. Now let's start by saying Duke is officially awful. And if Scott Satterfield was meeting with anybody behind closed doors surreptitiously, very quietly at Duke, this morning he should be saying, or late last night he should have been saying, why would I want to come to Duke? Good gravy, this is a terrible program. It may be It may be the worst tackling I've ever seen. I talked to somebody earlier today who said that, and I'm going to steal it from him. And I'm not going to give him credit. I'm going to act like it's mine. That may have been the worst tackling we've ever seen. There was a play where Malik Cunningham scored on a, I want to say 70-something, 72-yard run maybe, where he was stopped 10 yards into the run. A Duke player had him by the ankle, and Malik Cunningham was standing upright, and Duke literally had 3 seconds for any of the other 10 defenders to come hit him. Nobody got within 3 yards. He wriggled his way out of the ankle tackle and went the rest of the way for the touchdown. Untouched, basically. Duke couldn't tackle me. And David Cutcliffe, if you watched it on TV, the head coach of the Blue Devils looked like he would have rather been anywhere else than where he was. He's probably going to announce his retirement this week. I think it was good for the Cards that Duke still has another home game, because now Thursday or Wednesday or Monday, you come out and you say, this is going to be my last game against the Hurricanes. And the campus and the community rallies around David Cutcliffe, who, by the way, had a pretty good run at Duke. He had a pretty good team a few years back. Not that long ago, it was a really good Duke team. I think Daniel Jones was the quarterback. Remember that? He's now with the Giants. And this will give the community at Duke an opportunity to say thank you, say goodbye. And it also will give his players an opportunity to play one for the coach. Get a win over the Hurricanes for the coach. Luckily for Louisville, last night was not the final home game for Duke. If it had been, I believe Cutcliffe would have announced his retirement this past Monday. And all of a sudden, last night would have been win one for the coach. And then it gets into danger territory. But I told you, if that didn't happen, Louisville was the bet of the month. And they proved me right, which is rare. Malik Cunningham, 18 of 25, 302, 5 touchdown passes. 11 carries, 224, 2 more touchdowns. And I know there are probably a lot of people that said, oh, get that. I don't know what he needed, 2 or 3 yards to have the longest, to have the highest quarterback rushing total in Louisville history in one game to beat Lamar Jackson's quarterback record. I'm glad he didn't, right? I'm glad he didn't. I'm going to believe that someone told Scott Satterfield, hey, coach, he needs 3 more yards. And that Scott Satterfield said, hey, Malik, you need 3 more yards. We're up 50 at the time, probably 55 to 22. What do you want to do? And Malik said, no, I'm good. That's what I want to believe happened. I want to believe Satterfield wanted to put him back in to get that record. And Malik Cunningham, the classy kid that he is, said, nope, that's Lamar's record. Besides, coach, Lamar did it against a team that actually tackled people. Here's a great stat I saw this morning, and I'm going to give David Hale credit on Twitter. FBS players with 2,500 pass yards, which Malik Cunningham has, 900 rush yards, which Malik Cunningham has, 18 pass touchdowns, 18 rush touchdowns, he has those, in the last 15 years. Cam Newton did it in 2010. He won the Heisman. Johnny Manziel did it in 2012. He won the Heisman. Lamar Jackson did it twice. He won the Heisman in 2016. He finished third in 2017. Jalen Hurts did it in 2019. He finished second in the Heisman voting. And Malik Cunningham passed all of those numbers last night. I'll give them to you again. 2,500 pass yards, 900 rush yards, 18 passing touchdowns, 18 rushing touchdowns. 3 of the only 5 times it's happened heading into this season, Heisman Trophy winners. The other 2 times, Heisman Trophy finalists. Malik Cunningham is not going to be in New York for the Heisman ceremony. He won't. but he had a high, he is having a Heisman quality season. It doesn't help when your team is 6-5. I get that. You haven't been on the national spotlight because at one point you were at most of the points this season you were under 500. And I said early, if he gets some help, this is a good football team. Well, he finally started getting some help. Didn't need any help last night, though. He did throw it to 9 different receivers. And as I mentioned earlier, Duke stinks. Malik Cunningham had 526 yards of total offense last night. Actually, 527, according to the stat I'm looking at now. That is the fourth highest in Louisville history for one game. Lamar had 610 against Syracuse in 2016. Chris Redman, 578. I'd love to see how many of those were on the ground against East Carolina in 98. Brian Brohm, 549 against Syracuse in 2007. And then Malik Cunningham last night had 527. Lamar's was 610. Redmond 578, Brohm 549, and Malik 527. The next two, in fact, 4 of the next 6 on that list are Lamar Jackson. Chris Redmond, to his credit, has 2 in the top 10. It was an incredible performance, and I don't want to take anything away from it because Duke can't tackle. You still got to make the plays. And he made every play. And he left plays out there. That's the scary part. He had a couple of receivers that he missed on long throws that would have been touchdowns. Or if his receiver helped him on one of them, would have been a touchdown. So great performance by Malik Cunningham individually. Terrific performance by Louisville overall. 686 yards of offense. 0 turnovers for the 3rd consecutive game. And if you're a Kentucky fan, a little bit worried here. Got to be a little bit worried here. Louisville fans in heaven right now. Because you've got 10 days now to look at your Kentucky fan friends and go, oh, you don't want to come to Cardinal Stadium next Saturday. Don't want to do it. We're playing great. And it's factual. That's factual. Kentucky with those 3 losses in a row, then an impressive first half against Vanderbilt, unimpressive second half against Vanderbilt. What do they look like Saturday against a bad New Mexico State team? If you're a Louisville fan right now, Louisville football fan, you are on cloud 9, even though your team is 6-5, because you believe something you did not believe 3 or 4 weeks ago, and that is that you're going to beat Kentucky. Kentucky's going to come into Cardinal Stadium. The crowd is going to show up for the first time all season, and you're going to put it on the Wildcats. That's what you believe. We'll see if it comes to fruition. We don't know the game time till tomorrow night at some point. I hope it's 3:30 in the afternoon. I don't want noon. I want people to be able to tailgate if they want to, and I don't want 7:30. Don't like the night game. Give me the middle of the afternoon. Tailgate a little bit, have a lot of fun, get into your cups just enough, not too much, and then you got time after the game to go have dinner if you'd like. All right, Tim Tam Tavern Bucket of Picks is coming up. We will give you the leans on the local games as well. College basketball, we got games tonight, tomorrow, Sunday. NFL Thursday Night Football was a clunker last night. We'll recap that, among other things as well. You're listening to Spears on Sports, presented by M&M Cartage on the Big X. Welcome back, Spears on Sports, presented by M&M Cartage. John Spears in studio. M&M Cartage hotline is open, 502-384-1450, 384-1450, to join in on the conversation. Tim Tam Tavern, Bucket of Picks coming up. You can text me on the Thornton's text line, 502-414-1450. Download Thornton's Refreshing Rewards app today for great offers and savings on fuel every day. That's the Thornton's Refreshing Rewards app. And contact me on the Thornton's text line, 502-414-1450. Okay, I'm sure you've seen it. Another show today, not on this network, and you know who I'm talking about, reported that Mark Stoops was contacted about the LSU job. Mark Stoops not going to LSU, folks. Mark Stoops is not going to LSU. LSU does not want Mark Stoops. But this is how the game works. Now, Mark Stoops is making a lot of money at Kentucky. He's making a lot of money. But you know what? You can always make more. So what's wrong with your agent saying, hey, got a call from LSU today? Yeah. We'll see what happens. It's a very attractive job. We can't say that Mark wouldn't consider it. Well, it's time to renegotiate the contract. Even though it's a great contract, time to renegotiate. I would be shocked, stunned. I'll quit the show. How about that, Douglas? No, I don't want to do that. I will consider walking away from the show if Mark Stoops is hired as the next head coach at LSU. All right, there you go. It's going to be Bill O'Brien. It's going to be James Franklin. There's a bunch of other names it might be. It's not going to be Mark Stoops. Let's go to the M&M Cartage Hotline, bring in our buddy Buzz Frank. How you doing today, Buzz?
Hey, I'm doing great, John. Listen, I want to put it out right now. I'm not a candidate for the LSU job.
Let me write that down, because usually when a coach says that, they're definitely a candidate, right? When they say, I'm happy where I'm at. Well, nobody's saying you're not. But that doesn't mean you're not going somewhere else. Oh, I love it here. I love it here. Well, sure you do. I love Vegas. I'm not going to live there. Go ahead, Buzz.
Well, I tell you, I thought they got a couple things right last night.
Okay.
When they named Otani and Bryce Harper as MVPs, I thought both of them were deserving.
You know, until I thought of the scope of what Otani did, I kind of liked Vladimir Guerrero. His numbers were, about the same offensively. But then when I looked at Otani's pitching, I didn't think Otani's pitching was as good as the numbers tell me it was. Because I watched a few games. He got lit up a couple times, but he was 9-2, 318 earned run average, 46 homers, 100 RBIs. And what he did, it might change the game in the future. And that's the most valuable player. There's no doubt about it.
No, I agree. And the one thing I thought of, though, and I know you can't compare eras, and we've discussed that before, but had there been a designated hitter rule when Babe Ruth was pitching for the Red Sox, he might have never even been traded to the Yankees.
That was, 60 years before the DH came along or so. But,
yeah,
he might not have because – and look, Ohtani makes it look easy. Let's be fair here. He led the league in triples. What pitcher ever gets triples? Think about that. But he led the American League in triples.
Bases.
And, you know, he would pitch, and he didn't just DH. He led off and DH'd. He was your leadoff hitter most of the year for the Los Angeles Angels. They're going to go get one of these shortstops. I'm telling you, they already got a pitcher. They're going to go get one of these shortstops in the free agent market, and they are going to be a contender next year as long as Trout can stay healthy.
Yeah, and it'll be an easy move if Seager just moves over from the Dodgers.
Yeah. Yeah, that might be who they want, and he might want them. I'm sure Trout and Ohtani's people are out there, sort of recruiting somebody to play shortstop in Anaheim. And they got some good young players, too. Walsh at first base. They got rid of Albert Pujols because Walsh is so good, they couldn't justify keeping Pujols around anymore. Joe Adell, the Ballard product in the outfield, they got a good young nucleus. That's a team that could be good for a few years to come here.
I think you're right. And just flipping over, one thing I noticed last night that kind of bothered me for years, in a football game, and I saw it a few times last night, get a young man stood up, he's carrying the ball, and then a defender comes in and blasts him from the back. I know you want to get that shot in, but you drive him 2, 3, 4 yards upfield and maybe turns a third down and a fourth down situation into a first down situation. Just don't know why they do that.
Well, you know, you can run up, grab him, and pull him backwards, right?
Yeah.
You're actually helping him. Hey, I don't want to let you go without mentioning Aiden Robbins last night. What'd you think about the former Crimson? Did you see?
I thought that was great that he got in, and he looked pretty sharp. It doesn't have any bench rust from the years. And, John, he ran differently for U of L last night than he did when he was at Manual. I liked the way he attacked the hole. It got to it quick and ran it right into the end zone.
Yeah, two carries, and he had the long touchdown.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that offensive line did a great job last night. I know Duke doesn't tackle. I've said that earlier in the, but you still got to make the plays. And Aiden Robbins. Now look, there's a reason Hassan Hall went into the transfer portal. Louisville's got some pretty good running backs, and they're coming back next year, and Robbins is one of them.
Yeah, yeah, and they've got a couple of recruits coming in on the trail too. So that would be a stocked meeting room, I would think, at U of
M. Yeah, yeah, I think so too. Thank you, Buzz. Listen, have a good weekend. What are you doing tonight, by the way?
I'll probably be, as crazy as this sounds, I'll probably be sitting on the radio picking up your guys' feed, the Bulldogs' feed, and then there's some other team that wears green. I think they're on the radio too.
They are. I can't ever find that station. I don't ever look for that station. Thank you, buddy. Have a good weekend.
We'll see you, John. You too, man.
All right. Buzz Frank, one of my favorites. Manuel, the Old Goats Radio Network. Buzz Frank always does a great job with that. And, yeah, it was good to see the Manuel grad, Aiden Robbins, get in and get that touchdown last night. That had to feel good for him. And, boy, he looks – Buzz is right. He looks like a man now. Let's be honest. He was a high school player the last time I saw him in an actual meaningful game. He looks like a man now. All right, some college football to look at for the upcoming weekend. Let's do the leans here. New Mexico State and Kentucky, noon game, SEC Network. Kentucky's a 36-point favorite here. I think you're going to see the same thing you saw against Vanderbilt. They'll get an early lead. They'll cruise to victory. 36 is a huge number. If you made me pick this game, and you can't make me, I would take New Mexico State in the points. Purdue and Northwestern from Wrigley Field at noon. The Boilermakers 6-4. Northwestern not going anywhere at 3-7. Purdue's 11-point favorite. Big Ten Network at noon. I like Purdue here as a lean. I think the Boilermakers take care of business against a Northwestern team that has struggled. Minnesota, Indiana, 3:30 on the Big Ten Network. Minnesota's a 7.5-point favorite. The most important thing here is Minnesota's only a game out of having a chance to play in the Big Ten title game. Now, they got to have some other things happen. But Minnesota, as we speak, is still playing for the Big Ten title game. I think IU has checked out for the season. They showed that against Rutgers last week. I like Minnesota minus 7.5. And Florida Atlantic and Western Kentucky in Bowling Green. WKU is 6-4. They are bowl eligible. FAU is still trying to get to a bowl. 10-point Western Kentucky is the favorite. These two teams usually play a close game. I'll take the points and FAU in this one. Let's go to the M&M Cartage Hotline. Bring in our man, Ed. How are you this Friday afternoon, Edward?
I'm very good. Here we go. Three teams in postseason bowls, Kentucky, Louisville, and Western Kentucky.
Yeah.
Bet you didn't think that would happen about a month ago.
And Purdue. Don't forget the Purdue Boilermakers. Wins over Iowa and Michigan State to get the 6 wins.
Well, Purdue is probably going to win out. Northwestern, and like you just said a minute ago, Indiana's already checked out. So what are you looking at, Purdue 8-4?
Purdue versus Kentucky in the Outback Bowl. How about that one?
That would be fun. That would be a lot of fun.
I said this yesterday, and I said it. By the way, I want to point out that I was right. I said Louisville would roll. I said they would score 50. I was right on both counts. Kentucky fans are a little nervous right now. Is that fair to say?
Well, I think so. I mean,
and not about New Mexico State. All right, let's keep it clear.
No.
They're nervous about November 27th right now.
Well, they didn't exactly set the world on fire in the second half and against Vanderbilt. Mark Stoops admitted, he said, I've had a problem with this team losing interest and he didn't use the word concentrating, but and it's difficult. And I understand that when you get a big lead and you have a tendency to go off course, but. A month ago, you'd have said, oh, Kentucky's going to walk in there and they're going to score 40 or 50 and Louisville might score 20. But I think that's a different scenario now. I think they're probably saying, hey, we better strap it on and get ready for this one because first of all, it's in Louisville.
Yep.
And most of the time, not all of the time, but most of the time, Louisville plays pretty well against Kentucky. At Cardinal Stadium. Actually, they played pretty well in Lexington.
I think they played better in Lexington usually.
Not the prior time, 2 years ago when They just ran all over Louisville in that game in the rain. Remember the rain in that game?
Yep.
That was a
yep.
That was quagmire. But that said, I've got to give, and I've got a lot of people who just do not think that Scott Satterfield is a good coach. I got to give him credit myself to be 6-5 to lose those three games by the slimmest of margins.
Yeah.
It's easy to say, well, you know what? We got a lot of these guys back next year. Let's just do this or that and the other. And they do have a lot of skilled people back. I mean, and you just made a point with Buzz there about Aiden Robbins. I mean, the receiver they have that's only a true freshman. My name just escaped. Number 8.
Tyler Harrell.
Tyler Harrell is a true freshman.
And he was open now, deep. And Malik missed him once for what would have been another touchdown in that game.
Well,
he should have caught it. Malik didn't miss him. He should have caught it. That's what it was. He's a freshman. He dropped it. He dropped one on about the 2-yard line early.
Here's the thing. You can teach schemes and all that kind of stuff, but you can't teach speed.
No.
And I will say that Louisville does have speed. They do have speed.
And I don't know who the play-by-play guy was last night in that game, but if he said it once, he said it 4 or 5 times. Louisville's first 11 offensive players, their starters, are all eligible to return next year and play. That's got to feel pretty good if you're Scott Satterfield.
Right. Exactly. Now, the one thing that Louisville has been all year, it doesn't matter who you're playing, they've been pretty good against the run. Pretty good against the run.
Yep.
Their problem is, and it showed up a little bit in the Duke game.
It did.
In the first quarter, is the secondary. Their guys are smaller. They match up these big. That big tight end had a couple of nice catches, 82. I don't know what.
Yeah, and Bobo got open a lot, right?
Right. And that could be
– Yeah.
That could be something that Kentucky take that they capitalize on with some of their receivers. But, hey, buddy, I think reveal my pick next week one day. But
okay.
Just have to see how – and apparently Louisville's healthy. Like you said, if you're a Louisville fan right now, you're riding high.
I will say this. Louisville fan wants you to pick Kentucky based on all your picks.
Oh, okay.
Is that fair?
Right.
No?
Hey, one of these days I'm going to be right.
Hey, it happens. I had it last night. I got to gloat because I was right about the game last night. So
what was the spread? 30?
It was 20. The spread was 20.
Hmm.
I thought it was the easiest money you could make this month, and turns out I was right.
Well, you're right. In Duke, after the first quarter, after they got down 3 touchdowns, it was like, hey, I'm not going to risk injury.
Yeah. And I will say this, Ed, about your comment about the defensive backfield for Louisville. Duke's backup quarterback came in, and he completed, I think, his first 12 or 15 passes. He was really good, and that Louisville secondary really does miss Ketrell Clark.
Well, I think he was either 11-for-11 or 13-for-13,
something like that.
But yeah, you're right. I'm not making any bones about that. But the Louisville front and that Avery and Abdullah and some of those guys pretty good against the run.
They were great.
Against the pass now.
They were great against Syracuse, who's a good running football team.
Well, I'm just beginning to wonder about Syracuse now. They've got some tough games coming up.
And I know we're a week away and Kentucky's still got a game. This is going to come down to, turnovers, which all games come down to, but is Kentucky and Chris Rodriguez and the other running back, Smoke, are they going to be able to run the football against that Louisville front 7? That's what it's going to come down to. Because Kentucky's going to be able to throw the ball. I think Louisville's going to be able to score the ball. Can Kentucky run the football? I think that's what it comes down to. Because they're going to want to impose their will and run the football. Mark Stoops wants to run the football.
Did you not make the comment about 20 minutes ago, 15 minutes ago, that Louisville's went 3 weeks in a row without a turnover?
Zero turnovers. Right? That's correct.
That's no turnovers. Well, that certainly helps and certainly bodes well. And you're coming in against a good hot quarterback in Malik Cunningham. I mean, like you said, I don't care if he does it. I mean, what he did in that game is hard to do in practice.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, those numbers are, boy, they jump off the chart at you. Thank you, buddy.
They really. All right, we'll be at, we had a girls game tonight up in New Washington and Henryville, and carrying the banner for the evening news tonight.
Well, have a good Friday, and enjoy your weekend. I know you'll be at the Yum Center tomorrow. So
You have a good game with the Tigers.
Thank you, buddy. Have a good one, Ed. Always appreciate Ed's call. Tim Tam Tavern bucket of picks coming up. We'll talk a little college basketball as well on the other side. You're listening to Spears on Sports, presented by M&M Cartage on the Big X. Welcome back, Spears on Sports, presented by M&M Cartage. John Spears in studio. Final segment on this Friday, final segment of the week. The Thornton's text line is still open, 502-414-1450. Last chance to get your text into the show, 414-1450. By the way, the most rushing yardage by a Louisville quarterback in a game, 226, Lamar Jackson, 2015 against Texas A&M. Malik Cunningham came 2 yards short of that last night, 224 against Duke last night, 199 Lamar Jackson at Syracuse in 2016, and fourth on the list is 197 Malik Cunningham at Virginia last season. So Malik Cunningham is doing Lamar Jackson things, and I still believe, and I believe this for some time, he's going to play on Sundays. Now, if he goes out and beats Kentucky next week and has a good game throwing the football, does he leave for the NFL? He can come back, but he can also go. That's a good question. I don't have the answer. You know, maybe we'll find out the answer. Maybe we'll find out the answer. All right, I'll give you the Tim Tam Tavern bucket of picks. Let's talk a little college basketball first. Kentucky back in action tonight. They play the Ohio University Bobcats, home of one of my favorite former players, Ed Sears. Look it up. You can Google it. Ed Sears, Ohio University basketball. He looked like Grady from Sanford and Son when he was playing for Ohio University. So look that one up on Google or YouTube. Ed Sears, Ohio University basketball. Kentucky is only a 12-point favorite tonight against the Bobcats. Ohio is 3-0. There is one common opponent. They beat Robert Morris last time out, 85-71. That game was in Athens, Ohio. Kentucky, of course, beat Robert Morris by 40. I love the transitive property here. Ohio beat them by 14. So you say, okay, why is it only a 12-point spread? Well, Ohio University, and here's where the transitive property kicks in. I know it doesn't mean anything. Team A beat Team B. Team B beat Team C. Therefore, Team A will beat Team C. It's not how it works. But Ohio opened the season with a win at home against Belmont, 92-80. The same Belmont team that beat Furman. The same Furman team that came into the Yum Center and beat Louisville a week ago tonight. There you go. That's the transitive property. That means that Ohio would beat Louisville, right? And if they can beat Louisville, then a 12-point underdog against Kentucky, they can stay in the game. The other win for Ohio was on the road in an interstate rivalry game. They beat Cleveland State 67-56. That's been their closest game thus far as they head into Rupp Arena tonight. Kentucky 2-1, of course. I expect them to win tonight. Vegas is usually right on the number, so expect a hard-fought battle for Kentucky against the Mid-American Conference Ohio Bobcats. Also tonight, Western Kentucky, 8 o'clock at 11th-ranked Memphis. The Toppers are 1-2 on the year. Penny Hardaway's team is 3-0, and Memphis is a 15-point favorite at home tonight against WKU. Saturday, Louisville back home to take on Detroit Mercy. That's where Brad Calipari ended his career, finished out his career, I should say. But Detroit is 0-3, Cards 2-1, 2 o'clock in the Yum Center tomorrow if you are looking for something to do. I would guess tickets will be available for that one. 4 o'clock tomorrow, North Carolina and Purdue. They're on ESPNW, which I don't even know if I have. It's a doubleheader played at Mohegan Sun up in Connecticut at the casino slash arena. 18th ranked Carolina is 3-0. They've struggled. 6th ranked Purdue is 3-0. I really like this Purdue team, but that's part of a doubleheader. 4 o'clock tomorrow. And then Sunday night, Indiana back in action. That game will be right here on the Big X as they host Louisiana. The Raging Cajuns are 3-0, as are the Hoosiers. Big Ten Network as well, 7:30 Sunday night. Indiana gets back in action. Pro football last night, that was an ugly game. I'm very happy Louisville football was on last night, because if I had to watch that entire Patriots-Falcons game, I would rather have been vacuuming the basement last night. 25-0 New England wins it. Atlanta never really threatened. And if you're Matt Ryan, you got to be looking around going, how did I get into this mess? I said yesterday this was a rematch of Super Bowl 51, the comeback game. The Patriots trailed 28-3. Somehow came back and beat Matt Ryan and the Falcons 34-28 in overtime. Now, Atlanta was missing one of their best players, Cordarrelle Patterson, but Bill Belichick just said, you're not going to throw it to Kyle Pitts, so do whatever else you want and try to score, and Atlanta couldn't score. New England has allowed 13 points combined in the last three games. They're 7-4. They are a playoff team. They're only a half game behind Buffalo in the AFC East. And all of a sudden, after last year when everybody said, Bill Belichick needed Tom Brady a lot more than Tom Brady needed Bill Belichick, which may have been true last year. This year, Bill Belichick is proving he can do it without Tom Brady. He can do it with really good defense, solid running game, no turnovers, a quarterback that manages the game even though he's a rookie. Mac Jones threw for 80% completion the last two games. He's the first rookie quarterback to ever do that. They're mostly dink and dunks. Mostly move the chain passes. You don't throw into any coverages. And Bill Belichick is using his system to get his Patriots into the playoffs. And right now they're a playoff team. They got Buffalo and Tennessee the next 2 weeks, so we'll see how that goes. But right now, New England definitely overachieving based on their roster. Atlanta falls to 4-6. They were a playoff team 2 weeks ago until Dallas beat them last week 43-3. So that means they've been outscored 68-3 in the last two games against the Cowboys and the Patriots. Not going to end well for Atlanta. All right, let's get to the Tim Tam Tavern bucket of picks quickly. We'll start with what I want you to watch tomorrow. That's Ohio State, Michigan State from Columbus, noon on ABC. Ohio State's a 19-point favorite. There's a lot of distractions going on in East Lansing right now about the head coach and his contract, and is he going to LSU, and how much are we going to pay him? And I think Ohio State, who couldn't be stopped against Purdue last week, same thing this week. I don't think Michigan State can stop the Buckeyes. I'm taking Ohio State and giving the 19 in that one. Wisconsin and Nebraska, guess who's hot all of a sudden? Whiskey's won 6 in a row. They're probably going to go to the Big Ten title game against Ohio State or Michigan. Wisconsin, -9 at home against Nebraska. Nebraska's played better. They played the Buckeyes tough a couple weeks ago. But I think Wisconsin, who's on a roll, continues that roll. Give me the Badgers, -9 against Nebraska. Oregon and Utah tomorrow night in Utah. Everybody is on the Utes in this one. Oregon's ranked 3rd in the country. Utah is ranked 24th. Utah's a 3-point favorite over the 3rd-ranked team in the country, a team that went into Columbus and beat Ohio State earlier in the year. Everybody loves Utah this week. It's one of those hot games. Oh, you got to love Utah. I'm taking Oregon. And I just want to be, I want to be negative Nelly here. Oregon's a better team, and they're getting points. I don't care where they're playing the game. And it's not Chip Kelly's Oregon where they're throwing it all over the place. This is a running game, a solid defense. Oregon, they'll take a big play once in a while, but they will wear you out. and give me the Ducks plus the 3. I'm taking the points here against Utah. NFL, all right, last 2 weeks, given points. I went 1-5 in the NFL picks the last two Sundays. I'm going to take some points now because I can't figure out the NFL. Jacksonville at home against San Francisco. The 49ers coming off a Monday night win against the Rams, going across the country here against the Jacksonville team that plays pretty good defense, getting 6.5. I'm taking the Jags and the points here. I think they beat the 49ers outright. The 49ers are the hot team. Oh, they beat the Rams. They're back in the playoff hunt. Not after this. I think Jacksonville beats San Francisco. I'm taking the Jags and the 6.5. Colts plus 7 at Buffalo. Colts are one of the teams playing really good right now. Buffalo has struggled coming off a bye week, but the Bills have not played well in the last couple times out. They haven't been able to score the ball. A lot of people have figured out Josh Allen, a quarterback. And the Colts are going to rely on their running game and Jonathan Taylor, that offensive line. Special teams as well has been good for the Colts. I'm taking the Colts plus the 7 at Buffalo. And finally, Sunday night football, Pittsburgh and the Chargers in L.A., SoFi Stadium. Again, I'm going with defense and points here. I'm taking the Steelers plus the 6 against Justin Herbert and the Los Angeles Chargers. Chargers need a win here, but so do the Steelers. And the Chargers, even though Phillip Rivers is gone, still the Chargers. They still know how to mess things up. Give me the Steelers plus the 6. So the bucket is Ohio State minus 19 against Michigan State, Wisconsin minus 9 against Nebraska, and Oregon plus 3 at Utah. Jaguars plus 6.5 against the 49ers. Colts plus 7 at Buffalo, and the Steelers plus 6 at the Chargers. Great slate of NFL games this weekend. Interesting. The best game is Dallas and Kansas City. And here's what you're going to hear Sunday night, Monday morning. One of two things. Kansas City's back. Chiefs are the favorite to win the AFC now. Or you're going to hear this. Dallas is the best team in the NFC. No two ways about it. The Cowboys are a Super Bowl bound out of the National Football Conference because they went into Kansas City and took care of business here. I think Washington, Carolina is interesting as well. Ron Rivera coming back to Carolina to take on his old quarterback, Cam Newton, who will get his first start for the Panthers. We will recap all of this stuff on Monday. Have a good weekend, everybody. You've been listening to Spears on Sports, presented by M&M Cartage on the Big X.